Support this podcast via our Patreon and get more writerly goodness. Visit patreon.com/nanocast to join up.
Welcome to The Everyday Novelist. My name is J. Daniel Sawyer. I'm the author of some 27 books, 34 short stories, and numerous articles and scripts and essays, and I am your guide on this journey to raise your productivity to pulp speed levels and to explore the cracks and crevices of business and craft in the writing life. Welcome to The Questions, episode 476. Today, Robert asks, I am looking at using 10 to 14-year-olds to beta read a novel. How can I help them to give me useful feedback? Is there value in having parents and teachers read it first, as they will be gatekeepers to purchasing the book? Well, Robert, I'll take the second one first. No, there's no real value in having parents and teachers read it first. They may be gatekeepers to purchasing the book, insofar as they control the money. But with parents, at least, they're not usually going to be reading the books before they let their kids purchase or read it. If they are, that's kind of a specialized audience. Teachers, a little bit of a different story if you're going to be trying heavily to get your book into schools. But otherwise, again, not really much to worry about there. If you are looking to get your book into schools, look at a book by my friend Dave Hendrickson called How to Get Your Book into Schools. I'll link to it in the show notes here. At least I think that's what it's called. I'll have to check and see. Good book. Really comprehensive. And a quick read, too. Now, as far as using kids of this age to beta read a novel, how can you help them give you useful feedback? Easy. Have them tell you when they were bored, when they put the book down, and where you lost them. That's it. If they put the book down for any reason, you want them to make a note. If they get bored, you want them to make a note. And if they quit reading, you want them to tell you where. Anything else they tell you basically is fun but not informative. So they can gush all they want, or they can complain all they want about what they did or didn't like. But what you're caring about is how well it held their interest. If it holds their interest, they'll be back for more, generally speaking. Unless it really upset or offended them, in which case, sometimes they might be back for more even quicker, because at that age, you're experimenting with extreme feelings in a way you've never experimented before. And other times it means you've lost them, but if they get angry enough, they'll complain about it to their friends, and their friends will check it out because, oh my gosh, if it upset this guy. So either way, what you primarily focused on is holding their interest. Now, there's a few other reasons you want to focus on this. The first is that the things that hold your interest as an adult are not going to be the same thing that hold the interests of a kid of this age. There's going to be an overlap, a very strong overlap, particularly where issues of excitement or adventure come into it. But there's going to be some disconnect as well. There'll be things that hold their interest that wouldn't hold yours, and vice versa. Which leads me to one other thing you want them to note. You want them to note confusion. This might actually be the most important thing now that I'm thinking about it. The worldview of a kid of this age is really, really different than yours. I know you're a teacher, so you're probably quite in touch with this already. But for those listening who aren't teachers or don't have regular interaction with kids of this age, there are things that you understand and take for granted as an adult that kids will not get. And I'm not talking about sexual stuff. If you put sexual subtext into a book, a kid of this age will pull it out. And if you don't put sexual subtext into a book, a kid of this age will usually read it in, even if it's not there. Major field of interest in early puberty. You know, I remember reading books at that age and thinking that they were really, really dirty, and reading them again as an adult and barely noticing anything sexual in them at all. You know, and a lot of people have a similar experience. So I'm not talking about sexuality. What I'm talking about particularly is interpersonal dynamics, politics, and I don't mean like political politics. I mean interpersonal politics. There's a lot of really subtle things that we pick up on as adults that tell us pack order and dominance and who's manipulating who and who's lying and that sort of thing. And this is a world that kids of this age are just starting to get into. They had it all figured out when they were younger, because all the rules work a certain way when you're a little kid. And when you start to develop, it's not just your sexuality that develops. Your ability to play very subtle, multi-level head games and interpersonal games develops right along with it. Partly because it's tied to the bonding response, but also because the reasons that your place in the group are important and your need to find the place in the group without a prior context both change and get a lot keener at this age. And so you're interested in a lot of things about the adult world that adults find banal, but you don't get it really well. So you can have some really good, complex, subtle characterization going on that any adult will catch in a heartbeat, and you can completely lose your audience at this age. However, if you talk down to the audience at this age, if you oversimplify it, if you make it too obvious, you're going to lose them because they'll be offended at being condescended to. There's a magical middle ground that not a lot of authors find, but that when authors do find it, it's glorious. J.K. Rowling did a pretty good job of this in the Harry Potter series. C.S. Lewis did a pretty good job of this in The Chronicles of Narnia. One of the reasons that I like Heinlein's Juveniles so much and that I went to such a length to learn how to write books of that sort were because Heinlein did this pitch perfect. So did R.L. Stine. He was writing for a slightly younger audience, but he did this pitch perfect. Judy Blume, also, again, writing for a slightly younger audience, but completely pitch perfect for her audience. And a lot of the books released by the Stratemeyer Syndicate, Tom Swift, Hardy Boys, Nancy Drew, Boxcar Children, Bobbsey Twins, all of those all map the adult world onto a young teenage and preteen brain and allow access to the more complicated, frightening adult world from a place of intelligibility. All of those are really worth studying if you're having trouble with this. But you're talking about training your beta readers. What you want is genuine audience reactions, and you want to know when they lost interest, and you want to know when they were confused. Because it'll be very easy to lose kids of this age, either through insulting their intelligence, or through just barely not quite giving them enough information for them to follow along with what you're doing in the interpersonal relationships and in dropping subtle clues and mysteries and stuff like that. Thank you very much for the question. And I'll see you tomorrow.
The Everyday Novelist is written and presented by J. Daniel Sawyer and is produced by Artistic Whispers Productions, Incorporated. The text is copyright 2018 by J. Daniel Sawyer, and the production is copyright 2018 Artistic Whispers Productions. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives License, and all other rights are reserved to their respective owners.